Let's pray a little more for the message. Father, thank you for what you've done in my life this week, and I just pray the ability to communicate it and make it applicable to the lives of all who are going to be hearing or seeing what I talk about today. And we just stand against every demonic force, every force that would stand against what you want to accomplish in your people today. And we bind the power of those forces of deception and confusion and rejection, any other force. In the name of Yeshua, we break its power over this time and over this people. Amen. 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 Well, we're going to start out in the book of John in chapter 15. And Yeshua is saying something here that I think is just very familiar, but many people just take it for granted, and that's what the Holy Spirit was telling me. Verse 16 of John, chapter 15, "You did not choose me. I chose you, and I have commissioned you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask from the Father in my name, he may give you." Now, Yeshua spoke this to his disciples, but I hope you all agree with me that this is meant to be applied to who? All of us. All of us. But it only works, it only helps if you believe it and you live it. And I've been convicted by the Holy Spirit that there's a lot of people who don't really, really believe this right down deep in their kishkas. So I'm not going to embarrass anybody here today by asking if you really believe it. But you ask yourself, do you really believe you're chosen? Who are you chosen by? If you're chosen, God, Yeshua. And what were you chosen for? To go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So what's that? I mean, are you just going to start sprouting oranges and apples? No. What the Bible means in fruit is, I've taught about this other times, but there's five types of fruit. There's the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5, which is basically godly character: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. There's also the fruit of salvations, people you have helped to lead to the Lord. They're your spiritual children. They're your fruit. And then there's the fruit of discipleship, people you've helped to grow spiritually. Those are your spiritual children also. And then there's the fruit of righteousness, which is when you take a stand for what's right in this world, for godly values. And finally, there's the fruit of your lips, which is when you give God the praise and the glory for the things that you see happening and the things that happen to you. So five kinds of fruit. So the Holy Spirit wants to confirm you're being chosen today and give you assurance of being chosen. Everybody want to feel more chosen? No? Okay, all right. Why would you want to be chosen? Because living as a called, chosen person that Yeshua has chosen is true life. That's the abundant life. That's what life is all about. That's what makes being a follower of the Lord the greatest experience you can have. And there's lots of different analogies for it, like being connected to the vine. One of the ones that I really like is being in the river, being in the flow of the river of God's Spirit, being carried along by the Spirit of God. Another one I really like, because I've done a little bit of body surfing, is riding the waves of God's Spirit. Waves coming in that are what God is doing, and you just jump on and get carried along. And then there's another one. So what can prevent people from believing that they are called? Well, some are confused by a very interesting verse that we're going to dig into a little bit, Matthew 22 and verse 14, which says this: "For many are called, but few are chosen." So based on that, some people believe you can be called, but not chosen by God. I mean, that's what it seems to say, right? But speaking of God, Rabbi Shaul or Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, He, God, wants all humanity to be delivered and come to the full knowledge of the truth. So God wants to reveal his truth to everyone, but the reality is that only those who respond to his truth are chosen. So he chooses everyone to reveal himself to, but only if you respond are you chosen. So, how many of you have responded to the call of God? I hope so. You've heard something from God and you're called. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be watching if it didn't happen. So if you're responding right now, that means you want to be chosen. And if you want to be chosen, it's very simple. You're chosen. Okay? You are chosen. But another barrier comes up is that what about people who don't feel adequate to be chosen, capable? You think you'll fail in whatever God assigns you to. Well, it's been interesting to me because I've been watching The Chosen TV show. How many people have been watching it? Great, great. Great portrayal of what the people who were with Yeshua, how they would have acted and reacted to him. And what it triggered in me was, as we watched all the dysfunction amongst his disciples, to look at an account of who Yeshua chose when he walked the earth. So in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, it says this, "Now it came to pass in those days that he, Yeshua, went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles." Now, we don't know all the details about all 12 of them, but we do know them about six, half of them, right? And here's some of the details that show that none of these guys were qualified. In fact, they were really unqualified. Peter was a bragger, prideful, who said, "I'll never deny you, Lord." And then what did he do? Denied the Lord. James and John were two struggling fishermen, and when people did not welcome Yeshua, they wanted to bring fire down upon them. Matthew was a despised for collecting taxes for the Roman government. Couldn't be despised more than that in ancient Israel. And Thomas was a man of no faith, a doubter. And then, of course, there was Judas. Judas was a thief who ended up betraying the Lord. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them. Half of them, you would have to say, "Yeshua, you need a new human resources department." Because you're picking the wrong people. You're picking the wrong people. So how do you know you've been chosen? How do you walk in that knowledge? Well, if you're a lone ranger, a person who doesn't get involved in organizations or people, or has a hard time being a team member, it's really hard to maintain that sense that you're being carried along by the move of God, the river of the Holy Spirit. Because we all need the encouragement of others to maintain that sense of being chosen. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it says this, "And let us keep paying attention to one another in order to spur each other on to love and good deeds." Verse 25, "Not neglecting our own congregational meetings, as some have made a practice of doing, but rather encouraging each other, and let us do this all the more as we see the day approaching." So we are together today, and including those of you who are online, to encourage one another to love and good works, to be doing the works of God. And it should be clear to all of us that as an individual serving God alone, you're limited in what you can do. But as part of a team, as part of a congregation, as part of a mishpacha, part of a ministry, you can accomplish so much more. That's actually how we fulfill that amazing promise that Yeshua made, which is just mind-boggling. Remember where he said that we would do greater things than he did? Well, I believe it's collectively that he was talking about, that we would do greater things than he did. So if you're part of what God is clearly doing, something miraculous, it's easier to be confident, to have assurance that you are chosen. You might not even be visible. Maybe you're just praying in the background or donating money or encouraging, But whatever you're doing, when it's part of it, God is doing something, is vitally important. If you're not playing a role in the team now, that may be part of it. Look at some of the biblical characters. Joshua was a faithful servant to Moses, served in the background for years, but he was being trained by Moses. And one day, God said, it's time for Joshua to lead all of Israel. Sometimes when you're chosen, it takes a long time and there's lots of opposition to your coming. Think about David, who was chosen to be king of Israel when he was a teenager. But it took many years before he came into his destiny and much opposition. And me personally, I remember when I first came to believe in Yeshua and started studying the Bible, it was like, someday I'm going to teach this. It took 19 years from that happened to when I actually began to be the rabbi here. So you might be here to learn what you need to know to be able to participate in what God is planning to do. That's why we have classes, as was announced today, in sharing the good news with Jewish people, because certain understandings are needed to be effective. So how can you have assurance that you are chosen? Sometimes I and you experience an assurance of being chosen when we study the Word. Anybody ever feel chosen when you study the Word? Sure. Or when you meet with the Lord in prayer or worship. Or I often feel chosen when I share the good news. Anybody else? That's a big one. But others of you may experience an assurance of being chosen most strongly, and this is when I experience it most strongly, when you're in the midst of a move of God. That's when I've experienced. Anybody else experience it when there's something going on and you're part of it? God's doing something, like there's a revival. People are getting saved. People are coming forward to get saved, and you're part of the team to pray with them. Wow. Or there's a move of healing, and you're there to help somebody get up out of a wheelchair because they've been healed. Or maybe you go on a medical ministry, and you help bring medicine that is desperately needed to people who don't have it. So you have a sense that you're part of what God's doing by all that. Or you might be just contributing time or money or prayer or talent to what he's doing. But when you're in that place, it's like you're riding a wave. You're being carried along in that river of the Holy Spirit. And an assurance of being chosen, of having a purpose, having a destiny, having a calling, will sustain you through the opposition that you will have in bearing fruit. So now, many of you have felt, and I got to check here for a minute, Don, am I fading in and out? Because it sort of sounds like I'm probably the battery is dead again, right? So why don't we go to one of the handhelds and put this on mute. I think we need to change the batteries every week, no matter what.
Thank you.
Okay. So many of us here and online have felt we've been riding a wave of the Holy Spirit. Would you believe it's been 7 years now as we saw God move in enabling us to buy this place, this property? We experienced miracle after miracle, like waves breaking on the beach. That's why I like to think about it as waves. One after another, for 7 years to bring us here. So, you know, one of the things that's in the scriptures, in the Psalms, Psalm 136 specifically, is that Israel recalls the miracles that God has done. So I'd like to do something a little different here today, and you're going to have to put your mask back on for just a minute, because I'm going to want you all to participate by calling out something. I'm going to call out the miracle, and you can respond, His mercy endures forever. Or you can do it in Hebrew, Ki Leolam Chasdo, which literally in Hebrew is for forever endures His mercy. Ki, let's do the Hebrew. Ki Leolam Chasdo. And say it with me. Ki Leolam Chasdo. Okay, so I'm going to just list the miracles that got us here, okay? First of all, we were invited by the church that owned this place to buy their building. Then they got a better offer, a cash better offer, and they turned it down because they wanted us to buy their building. And then we had a fundraising consultant named Tim Avery come and help us raise the funds that we needed to buy this place, but he didn't charge us anything. He donated his time. Then we voted on whether we should pursue the purchase, and the vote was unanimous. Okay, then we had one-time gifts of, wait till I say them all before you say Kile Omar, $500,000, $100,000, $50,000, $25,000, $20,000, and $4,000. I mean, those were actually checks put into my hand. Amazing, amazing. And then we had many, many gifts that were given over the course of 3 years, a little bit each week, a little bit each week. Kile Olam Chasdo. Yes. Then we sold our old building for a great price when he had been trying to sell it for years and it never would sell. Then we had Jonathan Burness and Paul Wilbur come to our fundraising banquet, raise an enormous amount of money. And this one is amazing. In the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic and the shutdowns and lockdowns, our income actually increased. We were so amazed that these waves after waves kept flowing in the midst of not only COVID-19, but the riots, the election fraud, the censorship, the lockdowns, the deaths, the loss of jobs. The waves kept coming. So the momentum moved us ahead to joyfully keep on in the midst of all the craziness around us in the world. We had great assurance, I did, and I hope you did, that every one of us had been chosen to be part of what God was doing. Remember that? Did you all feel that way? We are part of this. Then as we got close, after we agreed to sell our old building, we had great rental space provided for our services and for our offices. Ki le'olam chasdo. And then this was an amazing one. I'd never done anything like this before. I started to contact banks about getting a mortgage. And we ended up getting a commitment from two banks, so we were able to play one bank against the other and bargain with them as to who would give us the lowest interest rate. Yeah. And finally, we closed on this place not that long ago, November of 2020. Amazing. Then the way God moved us in, do you remember? We had the inspiration to carry the scroll and bring the rocks, the stones from the stream. And then our first service just happened to happen on Hanukkah, the feast of dedication of the temple. And then the waves continued as we worked to renovate and decorate the offices. Steve Armstrong and Frank Campbell here to do the construction work just all the time. And then Bob Puff, our electronics guy, he went the extra mile in setting everything up way beyond we accepted. Our first holiday celebration, Purim, just a couple of months ago in late February, we finally got to celebrate a holiday. Hallelujah. And then we had our beautiful Seder and our first fruit service toward the end of March. So I don't know about you, but my assurance of being called, of being part of something that God was doing, of having a purpose, of chosenness was all-time high. How about you? All-time high. Then, just over 3 weeks ago, following the Seder, we hit a big stall. A big stall. Everything changed. A whole bunch of people came down with COVID-19, including me. I was quarantined from April 1st to the 5th because Diane tested positive. And then I was quarantined from April 6th to the 16th because I tested positive. And I was fatigued. I was sleeping every afternoon. We managed to do a couple of virtual services here with video clips, and thank you to Pastor Tom for doing a video teaching. But eventually, I got lots of rest and started to feel my strength coming back. And then something very interesting happened. I realized that when everything stalled, I had lost the assurance that the waves were still coming. I had lost the assurance that we were in the midst of a move of God. Has the move of God come to an end? And then my physical strength returned just this past Monday. Fatigue was gone.
And I decided that even though Mondays are my day off, I'd go into the office. I don't know why. The Holy Spirit was just saying, go into the office. Go into the office. So I went into the office, parked in the parking lot, and I walked up the sidewalk. I usually don't come through this way. I walk up the sidewalk to the office door. I walked up the sidewalk from the parking lot, and I had this amazing revelation. I realized that I had lost the momentum of what God was doing, God's move. I had lost my assurance of being chosen to participate in this great move of God. And that loss was more draining than the virus I'd been fighting. I'd lost the enthusiasm. I'd lost the zeal, the excitement of what was ahead. And that was where I was at as I got to the door of the offices, the outside door. And as I opened the door, I had a second revelation. I was just overwhelmed with a sense of gratitude, realizing what God had done in getting us here to this building. And I realized I had not been in the building for almost 3 weeks for the quarantine, and I'd lost the assurance of being chosen, of flowing in the river, of riding the waves. So why was it so important for me to be actually in the building? I realized that our owning this synagogue is a visible, tangible, touchable manifestation of God's miracle-working power, working through, in, and around us. Every time you or I walk into this place, we are actually walking into a miracle. Do you realize that? It's a miracle that we are here. It's a miracle that it's like walking into a miracle. We are literally walking into a visible, tangible miracle of God. And I realized how important this place was to me. But the Holy Spirit wants each of you to realize how important it is to each of you. We're like the Joshua generation of Israelites. Can you imagine being part of Joshua's generation? Who saw all the miracles of God that he did to bring them into the promised land and capture it. And then they're living there, and they're establishing their homes, and here we are. We're in the land. All they had to do was look around and say, this ground is miracle ground. I'm here because God did miracles. Constant reminder, that's what this place is, should be to everyone who has been involved with this. A constant reminder of what has gone on here, what God has done. And I realized that I had lost the power of those reminders just by being away for 3 weeks. Just by being away for 3 weeks. So that second revelation was great for me. It assured me of my being chosen. It restored my zeal, my excitement, my enthusiasm, my strength. But here's where it goes from here. God wants each of you to walk up the sidewalk like I did and experience the fact that since things have been shut down here and it's been so discouraging for a couple of weeks, that you need a reminder how you floated along on his river, the river of the Holy Spirit, how you rode his ways, how you've been chosen to be part of what he's doing here. And those of you who have been part of our journey for the last 7 years, what do you think? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Is that what reality is? Whatever part you play, you were instrumental in making this miracle happen. Whether you gave $1 or you gave $100,000, you had a vital part in making this happen. Whether you helped move the furniture in or you cleaned part of the kitchen, you had a part in it. Whether you helped lead worship since we've been here or you just joined in worship by sitting in a seat. Whether you prayed and fasted for weeks to make this happen or you just prayed once, you had a part in making this happen. Whether you helped build the office walls or you learned to do the live streaming like those guys out there are doing, you had a part in making this happen. Whether you were a member and voted to make the purchase or you prayed for it to happen. Whether you were an elder who voted to go ahead with the purchase or you just visited occasionally and said a prayer once in a while for us. Whether you were here for all the amazing miracles or you heard about them and online and prayed for them. Whether you were here for the first miracle or you just recently joined with us and you're just learning about all these miracles, you had a part. In God's eyes, you all had a part, a vital part in making it happen. The miracles bringing us to this place are your heritage, your miracles. Can you grasp them? Just grab a hold of them. They are your miracles. Now, I've heard people sometimes speak like this. Oh, it's great what God did for you guys. It's great what God did for you, Rabbi. It's great what God did for you guys. Who are you guys? Who are you guys? You should be saying it this way. It's great what God did for me. I'm included in what God did. Every one of us has ownership of what God did here. We're part of making this happen. So I just want to pray right now for all who are watching and all who are here to just receive that. So, Father, I just pray that every person who is hearing this would receive that assurance of being chosen because of their participation in what you have done here over the last maybe just weeks, but over a period of 7 years, what you have done. And I pray, for Lord, that they would just have that knowledge of, oh my gosh, I was part of an incredible move of God. This is something that is like, it's like a huge revival. It's as big as that because every miracle was so amazing. So amazing. And I ask that in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay. Now, two revelations. Ready for a third one? I got to my office and opened the office door. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me saying, this is amazing. God didn't do all those miracles to bring us here and then go off to somewhere else to do something else and leave us on our own. Wow. Say that again. You weren't listening. The Holy Spirit put this in my mind. God didn't do all those miracles to bring us here and then go off to do something else and leave us here on our own. Okay? And then he said, moving in here is not the end of God's move. It's the beginning. Right? It's the beginning. He is planning on being in the midst of lots of things he wants to do from here on, things he hasn't even revealed to us. He's also planning on being in the midst of all the things we already know we're supposed to do. Now, we have lots of plans. We still haven't had our grand opening celebration where we invite people from all over the country. We still haven't done our door-to-door outreach. We still haven't done our March of Remembrance. We still haven't done a vacation Bible school. We've done a little bit of holiday celebrations, but we're going to do more. God is not done doing something at this place and with this people. He has lots more waves to break on this beach. How ridiculous it would be for him to have done all of those miracles to get us here and then to act as if our moving in was the end of his plan. Wouldn't that be crazy? That's not our God. To leave us on our own, to just be another business as usual congregation. Here's what I thought it would be like. It would be like Abraham and Sarah having Isaac at the age of 100 and then Isaac not being able to have any children. It just ended there. Or it would be like the Israelites entering the promised land but not being able to conquer it. Or it would be like them entering and conquering the promised land but not building a temple. Or it would be like Yeshua being crucified but not being resurrected. Right? Right? It's not going to happen that way. We are just at the beginning of what God is going to do here. So the third revelation was that he's going to do through us here in the future. What he's going to do is going to be greater than what he has done in bringing us here. Right? I mean, that only makes sense. And what he did in bringing us here was beyond awesome. I don't know about you, but it was beyond my imagination or expectations. It was beyond what I could see in faith, all that happened to bring us here. So two scriptures came to my mind. When the exiles returned from Babylon, the first thing they did is they rebuilt the altar, and then it took them a while, but they rebuilt the temple. And the prophet Haggai said to them in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 3, "Who remains among you who saw the house in its former glory? So how do you see it now? Does it not seem as nothing in comparison in your eyes?" So what he was referring to was that the splendor of Solomon's temple was much greater than that of the rebuilt temple. And what I saw there was just the opposite. We're experiencing just the opposite. The splendor of this new home God has given us is so much greater than our earlier homes. Brighton Presbyterian Church, We started out at Bethel Christian Fellowship in the youth chapel, which is now the coffee shop, Winton Road. I am overwhelmed with the splendor of this place when I walk into the sanctuary. I tell you what, Naomi, could you just swing that camera around a little, just a little bit, so people out there get a little look at the sanctuary? Just swing it around slowly and back it off and swing it around. There we go. So they can see what we're talking about here with this sanctuary. I just walk into the sanctuary and I go, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. This is so amazing. But it's not just the sanctuary. When I go in the tech room, and I remember the tech area back on Winton Road. Do you remember what that was like? It was kind of like the sound booth, and it had like a seat up there for the camera guy. That was the whole tech area. When I'm in the Oneg room, which is the big fellowship hall, and I remember the Oneg room back on Winton Road. Anybody remember the Oneg room back? What a difference. What a difference. What a difference. When I'm in the kitchen, that was there. And I remember the Winton Road and the Brighton Presbyterian kitchen. Oh, my gosh. I'm thankful for them, but what a difference. Okay, this is amazing. I don't know if the ladies get this, but when I go to the men's room, and I remember what the Winton Road men's room used to be like, I am overwhelmed with a sense of thanksgiving. Anybody else? When I look at the playground, and I don't know if you guys know this, but we tried to get a playground built on Winton Road for literally decades, and we never could get it built. We started out to get it built, and somebody said, oh, you got to get a permit, and look at this. You can't use wood because somebody could get splinters, and we gave up. And I look out the window of my office, and it looks right out at that playground. Amazing, amazing. And then verse 9 in that same chapter of Haggai, the glory of this latter house will be greater than the former, says Adonai Tzvaot. In this place I will grant shalom. It is a declaration of Adonai Tzvaot. So this is the same chapter where the prophet is saying to the people, you look at this place, you look at the new temple and you say, oh, look, it's nothing compared to the old temple. And what's God saying? His glory is going to be greater than of that temple that Solomon built. And do you know why it was greater? Because he came. Yeshua came to that temple that they rebuilt. And Herod, of course, remodeled it somewhat, but they rebuilt it and the Messiah came. That's why it was great. Now let's remember also, because we've studied this before, what glory means. Remember what glory means? It means that for which something or someone is esteemed or honored. So whatever they're about, whatever they did, why people would say that is wonderful, that is great. So this place and what comes out of it, this verse is saying, will be esteemed or honored more than what came out of our earlier homes at Bethel Christian Fellowship or on Winton Road or Brighton Press, more than what came out of this facility as Edgewood Free Methodist Church. All right. Okay, so now I'm going to pray for you all again. Pray that you catch the vision that the move of God is not done. That we are here not for the end, but this is only the beginning. Ready? Okay. Father, I just pray for all who are here, all who are watching online, all who are listening. I pray, Father, that you would impart to them what just makes so much sense. It doesn't even make any sense that it wouldn't be this way. That if you did all of those miracles to get us here, that's not going to be the end. You had a purpose in bringing us here, and that purpose is going to be greater than what got us here. The miracles are going to be greater. We're going to see the move of your Spirit in a greater way than we saw in getting you here. And we ask this in Yeshua's name, that everyone would catch that vision. So just a little bit of building up some knowledge here. What is there about Congregation Shema Yisrael that makes it so important that God would do all this, that he'd do all these miracles to enable us to buy this place and then promise us he's going to do greater miracles through it? Well, it's pretty simple. All believers, great hope for this world is the return of the Messiah to rule as king, right? 1,000 years bringing peace to this earth, the millennial kingdom, right? Is that your hope? I mean, we look around at what's going around in nations and governments today, and it's like, there's no hope. Only hope is for him to return and set up his government. But Yeshua said that he would not return until he's welcomed by who? Which people? The Jewish people. Speaking to the Jewish people in Jerusalem, in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 39, he says this, "For I tell you from now on, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of Adonai, the Lord.'" Now, that doesn't make sense to you unless you understand that in Hebrew, this is a way that you greet an honored guest. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. You've heard that in a song. Blessed are you, is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's how you would greet an honored guest who would walk in. President Trump walked in the back door. Right now, we would say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Some of us would say that. But we know that the Jewish people have been very hostile to Yeshua. For many centuries, they've been closed to the good news, so that they are not at all ready to welcome Yeshua as an honored guest, as the king. But we here and other Messianic congregations and ministries are God's way of removing that hostility and that resistance. That's why we're here. And there's four ways that we are doing that. First of all, by demonstrating that you can be Jewish and live a Jewish lifestyle and be a follower of Yeshua. Because that has been taught as a lie, that you can't do that, to the entire Jewish community. And so we are a living witness, a living demonstration that that's a lie, that you can be Jewish and be a follower of Yeshua. Second, by bringing the church to a place of public repentance for how it has persecuted Jewish people over the centuries, expelling us from their cities, attempting forced conversions, being silent in the face of the Holocaust, the church is being brought to that repentance. Many leaders have been brought to that place. Many more are coming. Thirdly, by restoring the church to its Jewish roots, so that Jewish people will see Christians as worshiping the God of Israel, not some foreign God who has a different set of laws and holidays. Because that's how most Jewish people look at the church. Oh, yeah, they're worshiping some God, but it's certainly not the God of the Old Testament, because they're not doing what the things the God of the Old Testament told them to do. And fourth, by creating a community of Jews and Gentiles sharing life together as a fulfillment of the prediction of us becoming one new man, as a witness to his power in bringing about ethnic reconciliation, which cannot come about in any other way. It's only through the Lord. If you want to read some stories about that, you need to check out what's happened in Israel between Arab and Israeli believers. They come together in fellowship in the midst of such division between the non-believers of both sides. These are the roles of the Messianic movement, and they are key components of God's end-time plan, because he's not going to come back unless these things happen. He's going to continue to move miraculously to accomplish these things. So I'm expecting the waves to keep breaking, the river of miracles to keep flowing. I'm expecting the river of the Holy Spirit to become deeper, wider, and more powerful. Are you expecting that? Amen. You should be. Bigger and bigger waves to keep breaking here. And the Holy Spirit wants those of you who have experienced the miracles that got us here to begin to have faith for greater miracles, greater fruit to be brought forth. Now, what about those of you who have not been part of us for the past 6 or 7 years? Well, the Holy Spirit is inviting you to be part of what he is doing now. So maybe you didn't catch all of those that we talked about, but you certainly can catch on the ones that are coming. How? If you've heard God's call to be part of us, you are chosen. It's pretty simple. If you hear his call, you're chosen. If you haven't heard his call, but you just decided to get involved here on your own, you know what? It's because you're chosen. It's because you're chosen. People don't make this switch from Sunday worship to Saturday worship and this whole new culture just because they feel like it. It's because the Spirit of God moves upon them to do it. If you're visiting with us, we're going to pray that if you're called here, you will hear God's call. So let's just end up here by looking at a scripture or a passage of scripture to see some similar situations to ours that will give us guidance for where we go from here. One similar situation was when Israel returned from the Babylonian captivity, and they began rebuilding the temple in the year 536 BCE. It took 21 years to complete the building of the temple. And what did they do after they completed it? So kind of like, what did we do after we got in here? In Ezra chapter 6 and verse 15, it says this: the temple was completed on the third day of the month of Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. Verse 16, then the sons of Israel, the Kohanim, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the exiles celebrated the dedication of the house of God with joy. Similarly, do you see the similarity? We moved in. When did we have our first service? On the Feast of Dedication. And we dedicated this place during Hanukkah to the Lord. And then, verse 19, the exiles celebrated the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And so similarly, we celebrated Passover here at its appointed time. That was the first time we kept an appointed time right here. And you know what happened? There was a whole lot of opposition to us doing that. Not only the fact that a bunch of people came down with the virus after that, but also there was lots of contention in getting it done to try to keep all the rules, to keep all the protocols. And I believe we experienced that opposition because we were following that pattern in the book of Ezra. So, where does that lead us? Shavuot will be here in just 22 days. And you know what? We will not be stopped. We are going to celebrate Shavuot, right, Jana? We are going to celebrate Shavuot, and we are going to continue to keep the Moedim here. That was one of the things the Lord spoke to us that was so important, that we keep the Moedim. We're going to keep it right here. We're not going to go off to some park like we used to do, because first of all, you can't even rent a shelter in a park nowadays. But we're going to keep it here. However we're going to do it, we're going to do it safely, but we're going to keep it here. And here's another thing that I realized that is going to change soon. As soon as we moved in, we had that beautiful sign designed and made and put up. And we were really all excited about the fact that, you know, people going to the JCC were going to be driving right by our sign, coming and going. And so we were going to become known to the Jewish community. But I had a realization that that didn't actually happen. You know why? JCC has been closed. Ever since we've been here, way before, the JCC has been closed. Nobody's been driving down Edgewood Avenue to get to the JCC. So once it opens back up, we're going to see a whole different level of awareness of us being here. And that's when I believe we're going to start seeing some greater glory. So the Holy Spirit is challenging each of you here, each of you online, to commit yourself to God's purposes here, or to recommit yourself to God's purposes of here. And if that's not what God's called you, that's fine. We'd love to have you visiting. But even when you visit, you just pray for us, because that could be a vital part of what's going to happen. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the healings we have experienced so that we can meet together here today. And Lord, I thank you for choosing me to bear fruit. Fruit that will remain. And I just pray that everybody who's hearing me right now would receive and believe that they are chosen to bear fruit. Fruit that will remain. And that means that it'll go down through the generations. That's what the fruit remaining means. And I just pray that all doubt would disappear. And that we would have confidence that we are chosen by you, and that no matter what abilities we have, you will give us the capability to bear that fruit. Thank you, Lord, that you don't choose the capable, but you enable the chosen to become capable through your power. And we just come against a spirit of low self-esteem that tries to convince us that we're not chosen, we're not worthy to be chosen. We can't live up to the choice that God has made. And thank you, Lord, for calling us to work together to do greater things. Are everybody ready? Greater things than Yeshua did when he walked the earth. That's what we're called to do, greater things. And Father, we just thank you for the miracle that we are sitting in or standing in right now, or we're watching right now. Make this property, not just the building, but the whole property, a memorial to each of us, causing us to remember and be thankful for the miracles you've done in getting us here. And thank you, Father, for enabling each of us to participate in those miracles. No matter how small or invisible a part we played, give us the confidence that we were chosen to participate in those miracles. And help us be confident we have been chosen to participate in your end time plan. And Lord, help us now to see that owning this place is not the end of your plan for us, but the beginning of a new phase of your plan. And if the last phase was so amazing, so miraculous, why would we doubt that the next phase is not going to be even more amazing and more miraculous? We just reject that doubt. Give us the faith that you are going to continue to do miracles to accomplish your plan for us here and for this community and for the world. And give us faith, Father, that the glory of this house will be greater than the glory of our previous houses or of this house before, greater than the glory of any house that we have been familiar with. Pour out your Spirit, O God, and let it be, and give us the ability, Father, give us the ability to work together, give us the ability to hold on, give us the faith to step out in all the ways that you want us to step out to accomplish your purposes here. And we just commit this all to you in the awesome, wonderful, mighty name of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Prince of the Peace, the Sar Shalom, the King of Israel, the Messiah Yeshua. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.